First Timothy chapter 4, if you will. Really going to plug back into what I was preaching to you last Wednesday night and try to finish that message. And we won't, hopefully don't have to repeat all of it from last week, all right? We'll just be able to take up kind of where we left off there. Verse 11, if you will, the Bible says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Notice that first verse there, verse 11, says, "These things command and teach." Now, I talked to you, began last week talking about, hey, there's plenty to do. There's plenty to do in this old world and in this life, all right? And we ought to be active. We ought to be about those things. And the first thing Paul mentioned to Timothy, he said, you be an example. Just be an example of the believer. You know, that'd keep us going and keep us busy all the time if we'd seriously concentrate on really being a good example of the believer in every aspect of our life. I mean, just everything. From the get-go, from the ground up, just a good example of the believer. But then in verse 13, he said there's three things you need to really keep an eye on and make sure you take care of. And those things are reading, exhortation, and doctrine. And we tried to go over those things and deal with them a little bit last week. But today I want to start on verse 14, where Paul said to Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now, Paul was specifically speaking to Timothy about that which had been conferred upon him in his ordination, the laying on of hands. And you say, "Well, hey, I don't need to worry about that." Well, that part you don't. But you know what? We still ought not to neglect the gift that is in you. You say, "I don't have a gift." Yeah, you do. I believe, honestly, I believe with all my heart that every child of God has been gifted by God in some way. Somehow, some way, God has gifted you. Now, I don't say, "Well, preacher, what's mine?" I don't know. I don't know what yours is, all right? But I'm saying God's given you a gift of something, you know. Some people, you just got the gift of gab, all right? There's all kinds of gifts, you know. I'm not one of those that say you need to labor long and hard to figure it out. I believe it's pretty simple, all right? I believe God gifts people with abilities, and whatever those abilities are, you need to work to better them, all right? To better them, to improve them, to develop that gift, whatever it might be, all right? Whatever it might be. And can I say this to you? You say, "Well, I just ain't figure out I got any gift at all." Okay, then start developing one. You say, "Well, how do I do that?" Work. Just work at it. Just decide, okay, what I'm going to do. You say, "Well, like what?" Well, how about being friendly? How about just being a greeter? That's not complicated, is it? Listen, if you're tone deaf, you're probably never going to be able to develop the gift of singing. You probably won't. If you're tone deaf, I mean, you're not going to be able to. But our problem is we look at some ability, some gift, and we say, "That's the one I wish I had. And since I don't have that, I ain't doing nothing." Dead wrong, okay? It's just as wrong as it can be. Now, you ought to try to develop a gift. Years ago, I mentioned this. I'll mention it again if it's in here. Years ago, I thought, well, you know, I think I'll see if I can, you know, do some illustrations of some of my of lessons, you know, and maybe kind of draw some things with chalk and everything. Tried that, two of them, I'm out. I've got no talent, No talent, all right? I mean, just forget it. There's no, I have, my stick people don't even look good, all right? I mean, I have no drawing ability whatsoever, you know? So I said, okay, I can't do that, so I'm giving up on the ministry. Well, no, I didn't do that. Didn't do that because God gifts people, okay? Just because I don't have this one doesn't mean I don't have any. And that's true for you. If you don't know what you're gifted with and ability, then start hunting for it. Start figuring out, hey, what is it? What is it, all right? And whatever it is, if you say, well, I got this one, well, it's okay. Wouldn't hurt a bit to try to develop another one, all right? Just develop them. Now, I'm not talking about doing it so you can have gain or fame, all right? Well, I want you to develop it so I'll be rich. Nope, not want you to be rich. I want you to do something for God. Serve God. I never cease to be amazed at some of the world's singers, entertainers, and hearing how many of them say they got their start in church. And the stuff they're singing now is not fit for the barn, much less church, all right? I'm going, here you are. God blessed you with a talent, and you began in church with it, and you used it, you developed it, and now the only thing you're trying to do is put money in your pocket. God, it's a good thing I'm not God. Because I'd let them fill up the arena, and in the middle of it, I'd choke it off, all right? I wouldn't kill them. They'd just be squeaking, man. I'll show you, all right? Hey, but God's a good God. Thank God he's not like me, all right? And I'm glad he's not. Hey, listen, whatever ability, use it for the Lord. Use it for the Lord. A man alive, there's got to be something, somehow, some way, that you can take that ability, that gift, that talent, and use it for God, whatever it is. I mean, if your gift is you're the best ear wiggler in the world, all right, and you can wiggle yours to such an extent it's almost like flapping wings, good. You'd be amazing on the bus route, okay? You would be amazing in the bus ministry, all right? I mean, there's just so many things, hey, you can do. I'm telling you, it's something there, but not to get rich, not to gain fame, but you might serve God. You might serve God with that ability. That's what it is. You ought to don't neglect that gift. Don't neglect your gift, okay? Put some effort into it, improve it, develop it, all right? Notice verse 15. Notice what the Bible says, met upon these things. What things? Things we just talked about being an example. And give attendance to reading and exhortation, doctrine, neglect not the gift. The Bible says, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Hey, think about what you've just been told. Put some time into it, all right? Don't just say okay and let it slip by with no action whatsoever. Hey, meditation is more than just a passing thought, okay? It is more than just a passing thought. Now, you don't have to get down in the lotus position and go, to be meditating, all right? But man, you ought to spend some time thinking about it, all right? You ought to think. You ought to be considering it, all right? Giving it. That's some time. It takes some time. Well, God said to you, hey, listen, Timothy, I've instructed you with these things. I don't want you to just let it go in one ear and out the other. I want you to think about it. Our problem oftentimes, I believe, when we hear the Word of God preached or taught, is we listen to it and then it's gone. We don't take it home and think about it. Don't take it home and think about it. I believe that's one good thing about taking notes. You said, I ain't taking notes. Okay, fine, I'm not going to make you. We're not handing out paper and giving a test at the end of the service, all right? But I'm telling you this, you'd be amazed sometimes just writing it down how to help you remember. Yeah, if you take notes home, throw them in the trash, all right? I'm not saying you got to compile a book, but I'm just suggesting to you, every way you can, look, our deal and our goal is to learn and assimilate the Word of God. Get it in us, all right? Get it in us. And one of the ways to do that is meditate upon it, not just let it go by, all right? But then notice what that says right after that in verse 15. It says, give thyself wholly to them. Hey, you think about it a while, but after you've thought about them, then you set the wheels in motion to make it happen. Give yourself, all right? He's give thyself wholly to those things, all right? Completely. Put them into practice. Put it in gear. And then it says wholly, give it everything you've got, all right? Give it everything you've got. Doing your very best with all that's within you to do those things. To do what? Be an example. Be an example in every way, all right? Word and faith, conversation, purity, charity, all of those. He said, you give yourself wholly to them. Put it in there, all right? You think about it, but wait a minute. Don't just think about it. Put it in motion. Get it going. Give some attendance to that reading. So what does that mean? That means start reading. That's what it means. That's exactly what it means, all right? Just go to it on those things. Now, that gift that's within you, put it into action. Put some action to develop it. Don't neglect it, but develop that gift. Take what you have. Put the emphasis on it. And with everything you've got. But notice it pays off. The end of that verse says, that thy profiting may appear to all. Hey, it will profit you. It will profit you if you'll do these things. If you'll put some effort into it, it'll profit you. And it'll be a blessing to you. It'll help you. But not only will it help you, other people will see it. Other people will see it. And they'll see the profit. They'll see the progress, even, if you will, that you're making in your life as a child of God. And it'll make a difference for them also. Hey, you know, when we really turn it on and begin to do what God wants us to do and live the way we ought to live, and God begins to bless, other people said, you know, I'd like to get in on that. I'd like to get in on that. If you could help me and show me how I could do it, hey, we could do it, all right? Let thy profiting, all right, appear to everybody, all the people. That's what we ought to be doing with it, all right? Hey, there's a lot to do, a lot to do. But I want you to notice verse 16. Verse 16, Paul kind of turns it a little bit, and he said, now you take heed unto yourself, unto yourself. Life is not all about you, but you do need to be careful to take heed unto yourself. That's you personally. So what does it mean, take heed? It means watch out. It means be careful. Take care of yourself as a Christian, as a child of God. You know, a lot of people forget to do it and they wind up shipwrecked. And sometimes people do that. They're concerned and trying to do this and that and this and that over here and over there and right there. But they fail to take heed of themselves, okay? They fail to take heed to themselves. Let me just give you a few things under that thought, if you would, to take heed unto yourself. You said, what can I do that, all right? How can I go about it? Well, watch out for bad people. I mean, we're just going to make it practical, okay? Watch out for bad people. You said, man, there's no bad people in the world. What world are you living in, all right? Sure there is. There's some bad folks out there. Now, I'm not talking about the murderer. You ought to watch out for that, obviously. But that's not one. Hey, I'm talking about especially folks that would deceive you. Folks that would deceive you. We need to take heed to yourself. You need to watch out for people like that. Folks that would come along and try to pull a fast one on you, okay? And deceive you, pull you astray from where you ought to be going. And in some cases, even use you just for their aim and not for anything the cause of Christ, but for their own aim and their own good, their own benefit. Hey, the Bible warns us, hey, look out for people like that, all right? Look out for the talebearer. That's the bad person, all right? Look out for the gossip. Look out for that person. Watch out. Be careful about them, all right? Take your Bible to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, all right? The 19th Psalm. Look down, if you will, in verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. Notice what the Bible said. The psalmist writes, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hey, listen, you need to take heed to yourself. One thing you need to do is you need to be careful about your thought life. What the psalmist is saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That is, you be careful about what lodges up there in that gray matter. You oftentimes cannot help what passes by and what comes to mind, but you can help what you dwell on. You can help what you dwell on. You be careful of that, all right? We don't do wicked things accidentally. We don't do it. Now, when you're eating and you stick that fork in that food and bring it towards your mouth, you don't have to think about opening your mouth. You do it without thinking. Most of us walk without thinking. We don't think about, okay, right leg, move. All right, now left leg, move, you're next. Right leg, it's your turn. All right. We don't think about that. We've got it, all right? We can do it without any thought whatsoever. But I'll tell you, when it comes to other things in life, we think about them before we do them. We've give consideration to it. We let that thought get there, and then we begin to mull over it, and we think about it. If we decide, for instance, well, I'm going to get even with old so-and-so, wait a minute. That's because we've been thinking about it. I feel like they harmed me. They did what they shouldn't have to me. I'm going to get even. And you begin to think about it, figure, hey, wait a minute. You need to watch your thought life, okay? Watch that thought life. Take heed to yourself, okay? You know, where your thoughts are today, you're probably going to be tomorrow. So be careful what you think. Be careful about what you think. Go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I forgot I'd turn back to 1 Timothy, and I was looking past it to find 1 Corinthians. Going to have a hard time doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all right? Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And he goes on to say, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Hey, watch out, okay? He said, what are you talking about here, preacher? I'm talking about you need to keep your sins judged and confessed, because you can wind up in the ditch. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Hey, you will be tempted. But how are you going to handle that, all right? You will sin, but what are you going to do when you do it? You need to get those sins out. You need to get them confessed. You need to get them taken care of. You don't just need to let them fester and grow, all right? You don't need to do that. You need to deal with those sins. Hey, we're talking about taking heed to yourself, because this is what's going to happen to you down the road a little bit, all right? If I'm going to take heed to myself, I need to watch my thoughts. I need to deal with my sin. I need to keep an eye out for folks that are out to deceive and fool and lead me astray. I need to keep my eyes open to that, all right? I need to be careful. You do too, all right? That is not just true of Timothy and young preachers. It's true of every child of God. Or with something else you need to do, look in James chapter 1. Now, most of these things we could preach on for a while, but we're not going to do it. Just kind of going through and giving you some things to think about. Because remember, when you leave, you're going to meditate upon it, all right? Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Oh, look at that, slow to wrath. Hey, watch your temper. Watch your temper. Anybody here doesn't have a temper? I do. Man, I've got one. And sometimes it's got the better of me. sometimes I didn't watch it. And man, I greatly regretted it. I was embarrassed. Brother Mahaney, when they were here just this last time, they were sitting down at my house and we were talking. And his wife, Leela, we in the conversation, he said, yeah, she remembers that last time you're talking about there. She was there when you let that temper get the better of you. He said, what happened? Nothing, it's in the past. All right. Not going to drag it back up, but I dealt with it, had to apologize to a group of girls, had to apologize to another individual, and I said, man, I'm not going to do that again. I'm just not going to let that happen. Now, you said, you ever lost your temper since then? Probably, but not like that. Not like that. Hey, you need to watch that. You need to watch it. Now, I think there's something wrong with you if you can't get your temper riled up, okay? But there's a problem when you let it get you. There's a problem when you let it get you. You need to watch that temper. Why? Taking heed to yourself. Just practical things, all right? Watch your temper. Look in James chapter 5. Look in James chapter 5. That's not the verse I want. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verse 32. Ephesians 4 verse 32. The Bible said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, learn to forgive quickly. Learn to forgive quickly. Don't carry a grudge. Hey, that's part of being kind, tenderhearted. Forgive people. Forgive people. You say, well, you know, you don't know what they did. No, I don't. But you'll be so much better off if you learn to forgive people. I mean really forgive it. No, when I say that, you say, what do you mean? Well, I mean, don't forgive it and say, but I'm making a note in the book just in case it ever happens again. That's not real forgiveness. Our Lord forgives us, and he forgets it. It's forgotten, okay? Totally forgotten. Now, that's kind of forgiving we need to learn to do. Learn to be quick to forgive. Oh, how much better we'd be. How much easier it is in life. We don't carry around a grudge. I guarantee you, if Brother Dunbar offends me and I get mad and I refuse to forgive him and I carry this grudge, it's not hurting him, it's hurting me. It's hurting me, it's not hurting him. You haul that grudge around. It's not hurting the person you carrying the grudge against, it's eating at you. Learn to forgive people, all right? Learn to forgive people. Why? Because you're taking heed into yourself. It'll help you if you learn to forgive. It will make a difference. Obviously, you ought to continue in your Bible reading and in your prayer life. Those ought to not ever be neglected. If you're going to take heed to yourself, you got to keep yourself cleansed by the reading of the Word of God, and you keep that, you know. Hey, in general, you say, well, what do I need to do if I'm going to take heed to myself? Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, would you? And just we might kind of lump them all in here right together. You almost dump all the things we've been talking about right here. Where in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. You need to stay away from anything that even looks like it's bad. Just if it looks like it's evil, if it looks like it's sin, stay away from it. Stay away from it. Just don't have anything to do with it. I don't care what it is. Just stay away from it. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. May not be, but if it looks like it's bad, stay away from it. Just stay away from it. Have nothing to do with it. Why? Because you're giving heed to yourself, okay? It'll hurt you. It'll hurt your testimony. Just stay away from everything and anything that has any appearance whatsoever of evil, ungodliness. Stay away from it. Then look again there in verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. He comes back to that. He said, not only take heed unto thyself, but he says, and unto the doctrine. Under the doctrine. He's talking about that doctrine again, all right? Now he's told us back up there in verse 13, you need to give attendance to doctrine. But now he said, you make sure that you take heed unto that doctrine, all right? It's important. You need to be careful about your doctrine. You need to be sure it's orthodox. You say, what do you mean? I mean it's biblical, all right? Be sure your doctrine is scriptural. It's easy sometimes to drift in doctrine. And there is so much out there in the world today that is so messed up and so twisted, and you can access it on the internet, all right? And you can find somebody that'll teach almost anything and everything. And some of it sounds really good, but you need to really be careful. That's why he said you give attendance to doctrine. You take heed unto the doctrine, all right? Do that. You take care that you don't drift in doctrine and to get carried away, all right? Get messed up. Continue in that doctrine. That continue is to stay faithful in the faith, if you will. Stick it out. Don't be drawn aside. Don't be carried away and get listen to somebody that's a smooth talker and get you messed up doctrinally, all right? Doctrinally. Be careful, all right? Now, all of these things, hey, be an example. Be an example of the believer. Give attendance to a reading, exhortation, and doctrine, all right? Give attendance to those things. Watch out. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Hey, take heed unto yourself, all of that. Take heed. Meditate on these things. But notice at the very end of verse 16, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Hey, God will bless if we'll do it. He said you'll save yourself. Now, we're not talking about saving your soul, keeping you out of hell and getting you to heaven. Those things are not, that's not what we're talking about, all right? But it is this, if you'll do these things and you'll stay right yourself, you'll keep your beliefs, your doctrine right, it'll make a big difference in your life. Make a huge difference. It'll save you. It'll save you from what? Heartache, trouble, keep you out of the ditch, all right? Keep you out of the ditch, keep you from shipwrecking your life. You'll just pay attention to these things, all right? They will make a difference, all right? But not only for you, it'll be a help to the people around you. It'll keep you safe from the pollution of the world around you. The devil's going to constantly try his best to destroy you as a child of God. You're a target. He's got you targeted. The target's on your back. He's got you in his sights. He's after you. So Paul's telling Timothy, hey, here's some things you need to do. If you'll do them, it'll save yourself. Save you a lot of trouble. I want to tell you this. I'm convinced we'd do those things right there to save you money. Save you money. Because people take money and use it when they get out of the will of God. Oh, my soul. Save you money. It'll save your life. It'll make your life bearable and useful and usable. Or it'll be a help to you and a blessing. And other people, it'll help them. Other people that hear you. When you testify to the goodness of God in your life. You just keep doing. You said people don't listen. You might be surprised. I've always believed this. I believe there's somebody watching everybody. Especially if you're a child of God, there's somebody watching your life. Hey, it could be a kid. It could be a little child in church watching your life. They're watching to see what you're going to do. Could be folks out in the world that knew you and they knew you before you got saved and they're watching now. Is this really real? Is this the real thing? This it? Hey, let me just say this. There's a lot to do to keep you and I busy as a child of God. No reason for us to sit around idle. And the doing of those things will bring a blessing to you and make you a blessing to other people too. Man, that's what we need to be doing in this life, okay? This life's so short. preach a funeral this next Tuesday for Mrs. Graham. I'll remind you about that. Pray for that family. And sitting down thinking about funeral messages. Every time I think about a funeral, I think about the brevity of life. Oh, how short it is. Short it is. It's too short for us to waste it. It's too short for us to waste it. Use it. Take heed unto yourself. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us to see the truth of the Scripture. And Lord, but not just see it, help us to meditate upon it and then give ourselves wholly to do it. That we'd put it into practice, just practical things, Lord, that'll make a difference for us and help us to make a difference in somebody else's life. And Lord, help us to be that example, to shine forth for you and let our light shine, that the world might see our good works, not for our sake, but to glorify you, Lord. Help us now, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.